There's a different wording in the gospel lesson I just read from the New Revised Standard. The New Revised Standard does not use the word healed, but uses the word clean. That's an important difference in a word that we'll get to in a few moments. Ice hockey, soccer, and baseball. Those are my three favorite sports in that order. Baseball used to rank higher, but it has fallen in popularity with me since I started watching English Premier League hockey, or soccer. What I'm not a fan of is bowling, golf, sorry John, sorry Mark, nor cricket, which I cannot understand at all, or Major League eating. Sorry, Joey Chestnut. I just don't rank him as an all-star because he stuffs himself with hot dogs. And dunking a hot dog in water? Come on. But I like sports so much that I thought that I would come up with my own new sport. Major League Grumbling. The rules are simple. The person who can gripe the most in 10 minutes wins the Grumpy Award. And I am willing to take on anyone. So, after church, both churches vote on the most grumpiest person you have. And then those two will take me on in Major League Grumping. And we're going to gripe and gripe and gripe for 10 minutes. That's a total of 10, 20, 30 minutes. Every person gets 10 minutes apiece. I see a whole new grumpy award. And then, at the picnic that was postponed, that I think is going to get rescheduled, we'll have Major League Gripe. Yes, film it up. And we're going to have hot dogs. No water, just hot dogs. Griping makes a person very unhappy, very ungrateful, and just terrible to be around. Not one word can they say often that is thankful. A good griper can make everyone around them want to run away, or at best say, just stop your griping. Don't you have anything nice to say? Can't you be thankful for anything? Most of us, I hope all of us, really want to be happy. But I know people who apparently have no desire for happiness, to have a sense of well-being. There have been many movements, both in religion and in psychology, that has offered advice on how to have greater happiness. Bookstore shelves have self-help books, our iPads have ebooks that tell us how to be happy and how to be grateful. Frankly, I didn't know we needed a book to read to know how to be grateful. But there's a movement in psychology called positive psychology. And positive psychology is rooted around happiness and gratefulness. One of the ideas that launched positive psychology was the very attitude of gratefulness, said Emily Ann Stone Thompson from the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, and guess where? Berkeley. Wouldn't you guess it? Gratitude is studied a lot today, and it's studied specifically by Glenn Fox, a neuroscientist, who decided he wanted to see what happens in the brain when someone is grateful. And it happens that the brain lights up. And then he went on to see, okay, what does gratefulness mean when a person's under a great deal of stress? When they have pain? How does gratefulness affect the immune system? How does it affect blood pressure and heart function? And what he discovered and what they continue to discover is gratefulness is good medicine. That gratefulness actually heals. New research now is looking into how expressing gratefulness releases dopamine and serotonin, two of the feel-good drugs in the prefrontal lobe of our brain. These two neurotransmitters that are responsible for feeling good and feeling happy. In my work as a pastoral psychotherapist, I am specifically interested in those two neurotransmitters, dopamine and serotonin, as well as in gratitude. Because working in the field of addiction medicine, I know that gratitude can increase one's sense of well-being. A gratitude practice helps a person focus on things that they are thankful for. And it's this reframing of a person's interior self that helps them live with alcohol and drug addiction to move to recovery. Benefits of dopamine and serotonin and gratefulness will over time replace what drug and alcohol does to provide that sense of well-being. I said all this to say, I want you to understand that gratefulness has a huge impact on what you're grateful for. Gratitude affects who we are. Gratitude affects our health and our well-being. And gratitude has an impact on our faith as well. Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk who lived from 1915 to 1968, is a Trappist monk that I've read his work and works about him since the 80s. And he says this in his book, Thoughts of Solitude, on being grateful. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given us. And he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment, an existence of grace. For it brings us immense grace for him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted. It never is unresponsive. It's consistently awaking to new wonders, to the praises of the goodness of God. For a grateful person's know that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And it is that makes all the difference. So when we look at chapter 17 of Luke, we see, as we look at the text, that Samaria and Galilee, in other words, Jesus was in Nether. happened to be the route that the Jews took. It was a traveling route that kept the Jews out of Samaria. Walking when he and they come about these 10 men who are also in Neverland, but they're living there. They're living in between nowhere because they're not welcomed anywhere because of their disease. And Jesus sees these 10 lepers crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," they say to him. And what could a benevolent Savior do other than stop and pay attention to them? Now I think that the disciples offered an alternative to Jesus. Like, "Jesus, those are lepers. Let's turn and run away as fast as we can," because that's the way the disciples would have done it. But that Jesus, always ready to help, always ready to lend a hand, stops he and his disciples in the tracks. And the lepers, they're respectful to Jesus and the disciples. They keep their distance from Jesus and the disciples. They don't want to get too close because they know what will happen. Jesus and the disciples will too become unclean. So there's a distance between Jesus and between them. And Jesus takes a look at all 10, gives them a good physician look over, and then tells them to go to the village, go to Galilee, and find yourself a priest. And the 10 lepers leave Jesus' presence. And as they go, their body begins to be changed. And they begin to be clean. But yet, they are not tied clean. That will come perhaps later. Because now they have to go to town, they have to find a priest. And the priest has to look them up and down from head to toe. And then he tells them that they have to go and complete the ritual laws of cleansing that is laid out in Jewish law of Leviticus. And if they do all that, they'll be cured. Well, we don't actually know what happens to those 9. They disappear. Were they cured? Or was just being clean enough? Luke doesn't choose to follow their story. Rather, he chooses to follow the story of this one lonely soul, the unclean of the unclean, as far as the Jews were concerned, a Samaritan. You see, it really wouldn't have done him any good to go with the other 9 to find a priest, because he didn't have any Jewish blood in him. It wouldn't have done him any good. He was unclean even without the disease. But he goes walking with the others, and then it comes to him. "This is not going to work for me. I'm not going to be any cleaner than I am now. I'm not going to even be cured." So he makes an about face and he runs to catch up with Jesus. And falling to his knees, this unclean of the unclean, this Samaritan, appears before Jesus. And the good shepherd looks around. And you'll notice in verse 17, and Jesus asks, where were they? 10 made plain, but where are the other 9? Where are they? Jesus sounds disappointed. But he looks at the one who came back, because this is the one that is filled with gratitude. And it is he, the Samaritan, we know for sure was healed, but we have no clue about the other 9. They were clean, but were they healed? Like the addicted person, they can be clean. That is, the addicted person can go years without using alcohol or drugs, but it doesn't mean they're healed, because healing takes a whole nother area of work. Jesus told this man what his faith had saved him. What that really means is your faith has healed you. His gratitude was, as Merton said, taking nothing for granted, never unresponsive, is constantly awakened to new wonders and to praises of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience, and that makes all the difference. You see, the Samaritan was living out what Merton wrote thousands of years later. The Samaritan knew by his experience of turning and going back to Jesus that that made all the difference. This one, this unclean of the unclean, did not take for granted his cleansing when he was clean. But he was responsive and was awakened to God's goodness and new wonders in his life. And perhaps it is that he spent the rest of his life in gratitude to Jesus and to God, and perhaps he went on to live a very happy life. The fact is, we don't know. What we do know, and do know for sure, is that he was healed. Gratitude, yes, releases the feel-good neurotransmitters in our brain. Gratitude has health benefits. Gratitude helps one with drug and alcohol disorders to move into recovery. Gratitude helps us to heal emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And gratitude can allow us to have a closer communion with God. Gratitude can make all of the difference in our daily life, with ourselves, with others, with Jesus, with God. Gratitude is not some pop psychology or plastic religion. No, rather, it is doing as the lone soul in the scripture said. Offer gratitude to God. And we should constantly be in prayer and in our daily walk, doing as Burton says. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given. So create, my friends, the holy habit of gratitude and experience the healing power of Christ. Start a gratitude journal. Write one thing a day that you're grateful for. And when you're doing your daily devotion, sit for a moment in gratitude and tell other people how grateful you are for them. Live daily in a spirit of gratitude and experience holy healing.